Happy Wednesday, Bucks fans, on the Monday Morning Joe podcast here on JoeBucksFan.com. I'm Steve Isbitz. We're presented by Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai, and Discount Garage Doors. And you're probably saying, what happened on New Year's Day, Joe? Were you hungover? Were you watching football? No podcast. And I got to tell you what happened. I got to be straight with you, and I know you're going to understand. And it's kind of important. I've already sort of gotten past the initial wave of this, and but I'm going to share it with you, and hopefully maybe you take away a little bit more appreciation about the good things in your life. But when I went to One Buck Palace on Monday, my goal was to get there in the morning. Locker room was closing up, talk to some of the guys, players, et cetera, that kind of thing. And then Dirk Cutter was supposed to do his farewell address to the media, the final news conference, very late in the morning. It ended up starting a little bit after noon. And then I was going to cut the Ira Kaufman podcast that airs on Tuesdays and then come home and do the Monday Morning Joe podcast a little bit late, but with all kinds of fresh juice and the latest from Cutter, and maybe there'd be new news on Mike Smith and all that kind of stuff. You get it, right? Well, when I got home, I learned of what many of you read about in the newspaper and or saw on television, the plane crash in Costa Rica that claimed the life of a mom and dad and their teenage kids here in Pinellas County. They were living in Bel Air. And I knew that family. My daughter was friends with the 19-year-old who was killed, kid who was in my house. Years ago, it was parents who I knew years ago, and actually, I hadn't seen them in quite some time, but I'd know the mother of the man that was killed. She lives right down the road from me, and very nice lady, and very sad situation for her to deal with. So it was really rocked my family quite a bit. My daughter was upset, and it was just for that to happen like that. The crash was on Sunday. And then the news was all over after that. Just really, I really couldn't get in podcast mode. Buccaneers podcast mode, doing the Joe Bucks fan thing. It's not as if I have to get into character, but the reality was, you know what? That's what was on my mind, and that's what it's still on my mind, really. I just can't believe that the family was wiped out like that. So that's why there was no podcast, and I'm sure it won't happen again. You know what? Appreciate what you got. It can all be wiped away in a second, including your football team. You never know. It's happened before. My thoughts and prayers go out to the family. It's just a shame. Just a shame. And next week, I'll be going probably to the memorial services on Monday, but I expect to have the podcast done Sunday night. No game on Sunday. No Bucks game anyway. So we'll be back on schedule, and that's that. As for our good friends at Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai, wow, great support as we head into the next year. And, you know, there are Ford dealers around, but you have to go to Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai, Lakeland Ford, LakelandAutoMall.com, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on all new vehicles. That is one of their many specialties, nationwide lifetime warranty. That means you buy the car, and as long as you have it, wherever you are, it's a full warranty, full bumper-to-bumper, top-of-the-line warranty. So that means if you're somebody who keeps a car, you want to shop at Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford, and Hyundai. Plus, you get 1 year free factory maintenance with any purchase. Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford, and Hyundai, they have a great website. And at LakelandFord.com specifically, you can go get your lowest internet price on a Ford. And then let Sean Sullivan know, the manager there, let him know that you are a Joe Bucks fan reader, a stick carrier. He will give you $500 off additional that lowest price that's on the internet. There's no gimmick, whatever. You listen to the podcast. You love the Bucks. You love Joe Bucks fan. Let him know. Extra $500 off. Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai. Very easy to get to. They are right there off I-4. Let me give you the address here. 1430 West Memorial Boulevard in Lakeland. Definitely check them out. Great website, too. Easy to navigate. All kinds of videos. Not every website is the same. LakelandAutoMall.com. And our friends at Discount Garage Doors, look, sometimes, and whenever that day comes, if it didn't happen last week, you go hit that garage door button, and it doesn't go up. It doesn't work. And that could be a huge problem if your car's in there, or if you're one of these families and or people who sort of lives out of the garage or and exits and enters out of the garage, who are you going to call? Discount Garage Doors, same day free service call, 866-420-DOOR, or go to their website, dgdoors.com. They are going to get out there the same day if they can, depending on when you call. They'll give you an estimate. It's free. They will give you a diagnosis, tell you what you need. If you need a brand new garage door, they have great selection. And of course, the name is Discount Garage Doors. So the prices are fantastic. They'll match prices. DGDoors.com. Use your Joe Bucks fan code. Let them know that and you'll get 10% off. And they have great coupons on their website. DGDoors.com. That's your go-to for any garage door issue. DGDoors.com. They serve 18 Florida counties. This great local company. Get it done. All right. I just threw in a little music there to change the mood a little bit. I know I started off on a downer for you, but I had to be straight with you, and I know you all get it. And now your Bucks. 5-11 Dirk Cutter's coming back. Everybody's excited. No, they're not. They are not all excited. And I get it. I totally get it. And the Cutter decision, I want to talk about that first because there are a few levels to it and a few things that regular listeners hear know what was going to happen and not going to happen from me as far as what I was going to say about it. Look, I said to you, and I was very honest and very candid, if the Bucks lost out, if they didn't win on Sunday, I was going to call for Dirk Cutter to be fired right here. Not that I was going to say fire him right now, but that I believed that the smart play would have been to fire him and move on because the 6-game losing streak to close the season, you just can't get past that. I'm sorry. We've talked about it before. The essence of a team, the essence of a sport is winning. Some people have it, some people don't. One game and as a microcosm doesn't mean a coach is great on because his team wins on a broken sort of, not broken, but on a wild play to end the game. But it's not about one play or about one game. It's about losing and winning. And I just firmly believe that if Cutter lost out, that says too much about the staff and about what was going on. Playing close games is nice. Playing hard is nice. All that stuff is nice. But losers lose. And, you know, it sounds harsh, but in life, there are a lot of losers. A lot of people who just consistently lose or consistently come in third place. Or a sports team, a high school coach who just can't win, or a high school group of players who just can't click together in crunch time. And those factors, those things are real. Those are real patterns in life. I'm not calling anybody a loser specifically. I'm just saying that there are those who win and those who lose. And usually those things hold true in a production-based business. I'm not talking about in life. Hey, you're a loser, you know, because you don't have something. I'm saying that in general, the patterns hold, and the same goes for NFL coaching. It really does. And the Dirk Cutter thing this year, it was muddied very much so by the Chucky rumors, the Chucky energy, the false reports, the twisted reports, the Ian Rappaport, there's a terrible relationship issues and strain and problems between Cutter and Jameis Winston, which is really a bunch of baloney. Maybe they had some rough days, but who doesn't? And it just silliness, really. But the Cutter decision made by Team Glazer, why did they do it? Why did they go there? Why didn't they just get John Gruden, who obviously is available? First, let me say the report from Rick Stroud in the Tampa Bay Times where he says he contacted Gruden and Gruden says he had no discussion with the Bucks. Come on. I don't doubt what Rick Stroud wrote there, but to imply that, to even think for a minute that Gruden was being forthright or the Bucks didn't reach out to Gruden is just silliness. I don't think anybody believes it. We've heard reports to the contrary. And even John Gruden, I believe it was yesterday, said something like, I think the Raiders are interested in me. He won't. I mean, he's just not a forthright guy. And he may have been straight with Stroud in that text, but that doesn't mean that his agent didn't talk to the Bucks or the Bucks didn't reach out to his agent. I had mentioned this on Ira's podcast. Come on, the Glazers are business people. If you're a business person, there's no, you would want at least the information to talk to John Gruden's people and say, hey, what's he looking for? What does he want? We might have an opening. At least to gauge for 2019 or to get a sense of the market or to be informed. Get as much information as you can. So there's no way in my head that I believe that the Glazers didn't at least ask or Gruden's camp didn't reach out. So especially with him being around with the Ring of Honor and all that stuff, it's just nonsense. Of course, Gruden never denied any of the rumors with him and the Bucks and Cutter and all that. Never did much to quash them, really anything to quash it. So it was messy, but here we are. And is Dirk Cutter a good coach? Is he a good NFL coach? Is he the guy for the Bucks? Can you close your eyes and envision Cutter leading the Buccaneers to the Super Bowl? Take a minute. It's difficult for me, mostly because of the division, right? And I've said this before, and it's a common theme with me. I just try to be realistic. Right now, the Bucks have the worst quarterback in the division, and they've got the worst head coach in the division. Those are the two most important elements to your roster, the head coach and the quarterback, and the Bucks have the worst in the division. I'm sorry, that's just reality. And unless Cutter can prove otherwise, and Jameis can rise up otherwise, that's just the way it is. So the Bucks don't have a lot of hope for next year unless we can see something really shift. And I'm not trying to be a downer. I'm just trying to call it like it is. And I think in part, that's probably where the Glazers were mindful of that. And I say that because if John Gruden, as we were told, I heard from multiple places that he was asking for the moon, full personnel control, as well as a massive amount of money. I don't care about the money, but the personnel control, maybe the Glazers just thought, you know what? It's just not a good time for that. We don't trust John with the personnel. It's not like he can walk in here and bully his way past all these situations and coaches within the division. And it's just a tough spot and not the right time. And I think that's what happened. And Gruden had leverage. He had a good job. He also apparently had the Raiders in his back pocket here. And what a great deal for him. I'm happy for him. If in fact the ink ever dries on a contract with him and the Raiders, which it looks like it will, it's a good spot for him. He's got a good quarterback, a guy coming back from injury. Is Derek Carr really better than Jameis? Maybe a little, but not much. I'd probably put them in the same ballpark. And he's got pieces on the offensive line. He's got other pieces. He's got a division that's not as difficult. And so good spot for Chucky. It'll be fun to watch. And that's that there. But until I see it, I'm not going to believe it because you never know if he's going to pull out or what the situation is going to be. And would I bet my entire house on him not coming here next season? No, I wouldn't. But that's just me. You never know with the Glazers and coaches and Gruden and all that nonsense. We'll see. But 99% chance Cutter's the guy coming back. And I like Dirk. Personally, you know, a lot of people think, oh, you know, you're jaded. You weren't pro Chucky and you guys are in bed with Dirk Cutter and all this stuff. I mean, it's just nonsense. I think Dirk Cutter respects JoeBucksFan.com. I think he likes us. He invited Lee for a beer after a game like a month ago. And Lee didn't take him up on it. It's the other guy at JoeBucksFan.com, which I still can't believe that happened 6 weeks ago or so. And you know, there's no issue there, but it's not like those relationships that sometimes people think happen between media and coaches. They don't exist, at least in our headquarters here at JoeBucksFan.com. I mean, we play it pretty straight. I think we play it as straight as it is. Not everybody believes that because they don't like the take, but it's pretty darn straight. And I like Cutter. I'm a Bucks fan. We don't hide that here. So I'm hoping that they kick ass. I'm hoping he makes a big stride and the changes click and they can get this team back to 9-7, 10-6 next year would be huge with an improving quarterback. There's a lot to do and they've all got a lot to prove, and that's why they're 5-11. Now, about that victory, that's a real victory, and when's the last time we could really celebrate a Bucks team that was not very good, closing out the season strong, though, against legitimate teams? And I made that point that I'm so glad that the Bucks were going to be able to finish the season against real football teams playing for real stakes, because that's how you judge a team. You can evaluate a team when it's playing against the best the NFL has to offer, or among the best. Were you really going to evaluate the Bucks if they had games closing the season against Arizona, who was in a similar boat, or the Jets, or Chicago, or the Redskins playing out the string? No. But we got legitimate evaluation in these last three games against Atlanta, Carolina, and the Saints. And you know what? The Bucks were right there. There's not much difference between those two teams. I mean, heck, as crazy as it sounds, if you stuck the Buccaneers right now in the NFC playoffs, that's not a team other teams would want to face. Who's going to want to face the Bucks if they were playing this weekend? You think Carolina wants to face the Bucks? Think Atlanta or the Saints want to face the Bucks? Bucks are probably the way Philadelphia is playing right now, as I see it. Bucks are a pretty darn good matchup for Philly. I mean, that's really where it is. The NFL, it's a big leap from being a loser to a winner, but the margin the margin there is not a lot. And that is, I think, the ultimate gray area, because every general manager believes, man, we're close. We're close. We're not that far away. Even Chucky, when he was talking at MacDill Air Force Base a few weeks ago, he was, you know, gave the classic line, well, the Bucks are 8 or 9 plays away from flipping their record. They could be 8-5 instead of 5-8, 7 or 8 plays or whatever he said. That's a trap. That's a trap, because that's just sports. And it doesn't, bad luck happens, but it's usually, as they say, luck is a residue of design, right? So your preparation and your talent and everything comes together. That bad luck isn't really bad luck, except for in fluke situations. So bad luck, you know what bad luck is Cam Newton juggling a snap on the goal line, fumbling it, picking it up in perfect order there and just bolting right into the end zone. But you know what? If the Bucks had better push on their D-line, Cam Newton isn't able to pick it up and go. He's going to hit a wall without a lot of steam behind him, and he's going to get flattened. So it goes a lot of different ways. What I'm trying to say is, do I think the Bucks are close? No, I don't think they're close. They got a lot of work to do, and the culture change still needs to be in effect. But I believe for next year, like I said last year, if you can get rid of the bad guys who are dragging the team down either on the field or in the locker room or both, plucking the weeds, as Derek Brooks likes to say, I think a lot can change. And I'm not pinning all this losing on Doug Martin, but he dragged the offense down this year. We all saw it, the difference with Peyton Barber in there. Martin dragged the offense down. Swaggy Baker, he dragged the defense down, along with some other guys who just weren't very good. The defensive line, the pass rush, inexcusable. You know, Dirk Cutter talked about it the other day, that the four-man rush, they have to do better. But I think if you really analyze the depth of garbage that we saw from the Bucks defensive line and pass rushing, that stuff, that's got to go. I think there's got to be a lot of accountability. A lot of heads got to roll on that. There's no reason not to. It shouldn't have been that bad. Even though it should have been bad, it should not have been that bad. And Derek Ward was a messy mistake. And I think you're going to see big changes on the defensive coaching staff. Yes, I believe Mike Smith sticks around. That's just part of this status woe, as I wrote. But I think you're going to see changes in both secondary coaches. I've heard enough from 3, 4, 5 sources to believe that those guys were not getting through. They were not effective. And plus, you look at the results on the field. Ryan Smith wasn't the player that everybody, or excuse me, wasn't the player that the regime thought he was in the summer. Vernon Hargraves went in the tank. The safety play, did they pick the right safeties? Did they play well? Justin Evans developed, but overall pretty small sample size from him. I think you're going to see change there. And keep in mind, NFL assistant coaches, not coordinators always, but assistant coaches almost always are on two-year contracts. So Mike Smith came in 2 years ago. He hired his staff with Dirk Cutter. All those guys, all those defensive coaches from Jay Hayes to Mark Duffner to the secondary coaches, Brett Maxey, John Hoke, all those guys, two-year deals. So their contracts are up, and we'll find out very soon. But look for the secondary coaches to change. And now we know Marvin Lewis is out of the picture. So he's not going to be coming here as some sort of consultant. He's very good friends with Dirk Cutter. You might have read about that on JoeBucksFan.com. It's going to be a lot of status quo. And now it's up to Cutter and Light to evaluate their own team properly, which really I don't know. I don't think that happened well last year. And then go be aggressive in free agency. And I'm going to tell you this right now. The Buccaneers are so depleted on the defensive line, so screwed with the talent level and the production level, that they have to go crazy in free agency on the D-line. You cannot gamble in the draft and wait. When I say that, I mean wait till the draft. You just can't do it. First of all, rookie defensive ends and defensive linemen have a greater learning curve than offensive linemen. Jason Light did that in 2015. He was bald. He was ballsy. He did not upgrade that 2015 offensive line in the first wave of free agency. They were brutal in 2014 and they had holes and he didn't do a darn thing. Nothing. Go back and look it up. The guy did nothing, which was pretty darn stunning when you're looking at guys like O'Neal Cousins that were around and Jamon Meredith and the whole thing falling apart and Evan Smith playing lousy in 2014 and on and on. And Anthony Collins and Damar Dotson moving over to left tackle after Collins was benched and not playing very well. The whole thing was a mess. But Light did nothing. And then he drafted Donovan Smith and Ali Marpet. He gambled that he'd get the pieces that he wanted. And those were their two targets. He gambled. He nailed it. Those guys were good draft picks. And then he goes ahead and in this late wave, the post-draft wave of free agency, he gets Gosdrew Chehrilis in the summer when Damar Dotson is lost for the season, or at least in preseason for months. And he goes and gets Joe Hawley off the Falcons' waiver wire. And all of a sudden, the Bucs lead the NFL in rushing. They have a top rushing tandem, and the offense is moving the ball. They've got a top 10 offense, and away we go. But you can't do that on the defensive line. You just cannot count on that. So the Bucs have to be very, very aggressive in free agency for defensive linemen. I'd blow up the whole damn thing. I really would. We've talked about this and written about it. Take Gerald McCoy, keep him, bring back Noah Spence because he's going to come cheap and you're going to rehab the guy anyway and you can't get anything for him. So let him compete. And I would knock out Golston. I would knock out Swaggy Baker. I would knock out Robert Ayers. I would knock out the other guys too, though Ryan Russell shows a little pop for a guy at the bottom of the roster. Bring in some bodies. Bring in as many hungry bodies as you can find. And then look to supplement in the draft. That's how I would do it because you just can't gamble. Rookie DEs, you cannot just rely on a couple of rookies in the draft. You just can't do it. It's not fair to the fans. It's not fair to what you're trying to build. And I don't think they will do it. I think they will be aggressive because look, the hot seats are already hot. Jason Light, Dirk Cutter, they're going into this season with a tremendous hot seat. They know it. And are they going to just sort of hope that a rookie pans out of the defensive line? I don't know. I mean, Jason Light has to realize he's got a gift that Team Glazer said, you know what, Jason, we'll give you a fifth year to build the defensive line. That doesn't happen very much in this league whatsoever. All right, changing topics here. the locker room, the Bucks locker room. Well, I told you in the beginning that I was there Monday with the players packing up. And of course, Sunday evening, I was in the locker room as well. You know, the end of the year is a little bit different kind of scene. Guys are more relaxed. They're happy, right? They're going on vacation. It's not like the Bucks had a heartbreaking loss to miss the playoffs. They knew they were out of the playoffs. They had a revitalizing victory, and everybody's feeling good. These guys are going out to party. It's New Year's Eve. They don't have to do anything tomorrow other than roll in for a meeting, bleary-eyed, and start their vacation. But probably some of the more notable things in the locker room, stuff I haven't even written about yet. I had a chat with Robert McClain. Strong free agent signing. Let's be honest. We love to bash Jason Light on the free agent signings. We don't love it, but it's just something that we do. Robert McClain, good signing. 3 interceptions, played really strong for his game, showed his versatility. He was solid on the outside. And, you know, was this a guy that you were complaining about during the year? No. This is a guy who was on his couch and who's been on his couch multiple times in his career. He's also had success in Atlanta. He played in the Super Bowl with the Panthers after coming off his couch and having a nice run couple years ago with the Panthers. So good signing, veteran guy. You got to know him a little bit in Hard Knocks. He wants to come back. He wants to return and sign him. You know, you get a professional guy who's going to work hard, who knows the defense. And I think he's 28, 29. I think he's 29. Even if he's 30, it doesn't matter. Bring him back. Valuable guy. And he's also been to the playoffs before. If the Bucks ever get there, I don't think he's going to crap his pants in a big game. Bring this guy back, and he's a good piece of the puzzle. Brent Grimes. Brent Grimes, surprisingly upbeat about returning. Now, I had talked to him in Carolina. I understand that they just lost. I also talked to him after the Atlanta game about coming back. And look, Grimes, I believe, and we had a side chat about soccer, and there's been talk of and hints from Mecole Grimes that Brent wants to play professional soccer. I'll tell you this, Brent Grimes hasn't hired a soccer trainer. He's never had any formal instruction in his free time in the off season. He's not working with some sort of soccer guru who's teaching him skills and stuff. He just loves the game. He loves watching it. He watches more and more. He was talking to me about his favorite European teams. He loves juggling and loves challenging himself with some of the individual skills. He's not ready to make the move to professional soccer. Now, would some minor league team in the U.S. sign Brent Grimes as a publicity stunt and the fact that he's an amazing athlete and might be valuable as a winger or as an outside halfback running his ass off? Midfielder, sure. But you know, what are they going to pay him? $50,000 as a publicity stunt? And it's not like Brent Grimes is a big draw as a personality or as a name. I think that's in his future. I talked to him about that a little bit, but it's not like it's anything imminent that some people think. So file that away. Grimes was summoned to the Buccaneers' upper offices there. Dirk Cutter said he gave him his sales pitch, and Grimes touched on it a little bit. Mecole Grimes even tweeted about it, that she wasn't invited to the meeting. And look, the Bucks are over a barrel by Grimes. They're in no position to let good players walk from their defense. He's still, even though he mixed in a couple of loafs this year that really pissed me off, he is an excellent player. He's committed. He's highly intelligent. And frankly, I would assume the Bucks are going to draft a cornerback, third round, fourth round. You got to add some juice back there. Hargraves, who knows if he can snap out of whatever the funk is that he's in. But Grimes is a good guy to mentor a rookie. They don't necessarily have a lot of guys to do that. Robert McClain's nice, but Grimes is certainly much better. So keep that in mind as well. Now I talked to, this was off the record, after a different game, but I talked to somebody in the know about Hargraves, and geez, what can I say? I was trying to think of what Hargraves, a lot of this is in his head. a lot of this is confidence issues, and a lot of this is something he's going to have to get over in a hurry, which might be very difficult. And maybe distractions off the field as well. But with Hargraves, what was said to me is that, you know, at cornerback specifically, it's difficult to have your play fall off in year two if you're healthy. It's just difficult. You learn so much. You adjust so much in your first year. It's hard for that skill set to fall off. It's a problem if you're dropping off in your second year as a healthy corner. And it was very interesting the way that was presented to me. Now, I talked to Grimes about Hargraves, and Grimes, really the second year of his professional career or thereabouts, he's in NFL Europe. That's where he is. That, I mean, he was not a guy who jumped onto the scene in the NFL. He was undrafted. A lot of people forget Grimes's fantastic story, but this is a guy who was undrafted in 2006. And next thing you know, in 2007, he's playing in Germany for the old NFL Europe. And Grimes just talked to him about that experience as it related to Hargraves. And Grimes said, you know, you just have to develop a mindset that you're going to learn from everything. Learn from everything. Everything's a learning experience. Take the next day as it comes. Try to apply what you can and just keep grinding and learning. And Grimes said, really, probably that was really one of the biggest things he learned in Europe, where he wasn't any kind of star. And he even moved around in Europe. It was just like, all right, I'm not making it in Europe in my second year out of college. Just keep grinding away and learn from it. Learn, soak it up. And that was the gist of it. And he hopes that Hargraves has that mentality. He thought Hargraves, all he had to do was keep doing what he was doing as a rookie. And Grimes admitted to me, hey, well, something wasn't the same, but hopefully he's of the mindset to learn from it and just keep grinding away. And you can fix things in this league if you have that mentality. So hopefully, let's keep our fingers crossed that Hargraves has that mentality. Let's see, around the locker room, Gerald McCoy was wearing this bizarre fur thing. I asked him afterwards if it was rabbit, and he was like, I don't know what it is, but it's fly or whatever. I think that's what he said. And a lot of optimism. Clinton McDonald would love to come back. 5 sacks, part-time duty at defensive tackle. Pat that guy on the back. That's a warrior. He is a good locker room presence. I don't know if he's the best guy to bring back. Nice guy. He talks to the media. So, I mean, I have a little bit of fondness, I think, on that front with him. And I think all of us media guys fall into that trap a little bit. But McDonald is certainly a good backup, not a bad guy to have on the roster, but they might be able to do better. And if they can, they should. You can't hold these guys, you know, send them a Christmas card. You don't have to re-sign him for a couple of million dollars that he might make elsewhere if you think he's on the decline. One of the things we were told Jason Light's forte is that he learned from Bill Belichick. He learned how to get rid of guys quickly. If you make a mistake, move on. Well, I don't want to hear that anymore, because everybody and their brother knew that Swaggy Baker was a mistake after a month or so of games, probably sooner, but you had to give the guy a chance on the field. Come on, this was a waste of space. We knew Ira Kaufman found out he didn't like to practice. It didn't take a lot of research. Ira's got better contacts than anybody in the league, I'll say, in a lot of ways. He doesn't always use them to the advantage of JoeBucksFan.com, but we get a lot of good information, and there's a lot out there. But Ira was told, he wrote it up, Swaggy doesn't like to practice. Well, look, Jason Light knew, or should have known, or they all should have realized, you brought in a 30-year-old guy who's overweight and doesn't like to practice, and you gave him a fat paycheck, the biggest of his career. This is a prime candidate to mail it in. So Swaggy mailed it in early, but the Bucs didn't get rid of him. That was the problem. Doug Martin, they stuck by Martin. Okay, they stuck by him too long. This is supposed to be a GM who understands ditch him if he's not working out. I'm not sure we saw that. And there were a couple other cases as well. I think you might be able to put TJ Ward in that category as well. So I'd like to see more of that going forward from the Bucks faster accountability. I know a lot of people would love to see Swaggy cut right now. The Bucks aren't going to cut Swaggy because that does him a favor, right? Swaggy's a guy you cut just before the start of the league year when you have to cut him or keep him on the roster. If you cut him now, you're doing him a favor because you know what? There may very well be a playoff team with an injury on Sunday, and they're pulling Swaggy Baker off the street, and then he's in the playoffs. And then what? You just gave the guy an extra bonus for being on a new team. You enhanced his career when he screwed you. So it's nice to think cut him now, but that only does Swaggy Baker a favor, and the Bucks should not be doing that. And you know what? We all don't need to see Swaggy in the Super Bowl with the Rams or something like that. Wouldn't that be a kick in the ass? Swaggy getting a sack in the Super Bowl and dancing and blasting the Bucks. That's just sort of how the Bucks soap opera would go, right? That would be too fitting. Anyway, I wanted to get back to the locker room. What else was notable in the locker room? I really thought it was notable. Cameron Brate was talking about how, the rumors, the rumor mill, and the Cutter rumors and the Chucky rumors and the uncertainty really did affect the locker room. It really did weigh on these guys. Now, maybe that's a learning experience. I have to hope for that, that maybe they learn from that. And when I think about that, I have to think it's logical that the whole Jameis Uber investigation, the alleged crotch grabbing, and especially the timing of it when it was closer to all these other big sexual assault allegations and harassment allegations in the media. If Cutter rumors were going to take a toll in the locker room, don't you think Jameis chatter and Jameis rumors and Jameis and NFL launching an investigation took its toll on some level? I think that's legitimate. And what that effect is, I don't know. But this team should be tougher, mentally tougher now that they've been through this year. They got through this year and they got that win against a good Saints team. And yes, it's meaningless, but if you look at the collective psyche of the Bucks, not my psyche or not what you think the Bucks should be, if you look at the team as it is, that win where they knew, okay, we got past the Jameis rumors, we got past the Coach Cutter stuff, we're tougher because of it, we played hard, and we actually were rewarded in Week 17 with a win against an excellent football team, the mindset is good. The mindset is good there, as good as it can be, I think, at 5-11. I remember I was in Atlanta? I don't remember where I was. You know, you go to these games, you lose track. I think it was Carolina. I was in the locker room there. I talked to Joe Hawley, who made the comment to me. We were just chatting about Cutter and how he's holding up. And Hawley said, you know, it sounds like, you know, he uses foul language at times, but I won't use that here on the podcast. I promised I wouldn't, so I won't. Hawley was like, hey, you know what? We're 4-11, but we're whatever good that is. We're probably the best 4-11 team I've ever seen or heard of. And, you know, at 5-11 now, the Bucks might be the best 5-11 team in the history of the league. So there's a consolation prize for you. It's just you got to laugh. When you're a Bucks fan, you got to laugh. I'm going to say it early, is I hope the Bucks pay Kwon Alexander early. He's got one more year, and then he'll be an unrestricted free agent. Lavonte David got a deal from Jason Light after 3 years in the league. That's what they rewarded him early. And I think Kwon Alexander, they might like to do the same thing to keep it fair. So Kwon isn't saying, hey, well, how come Lavonte got paid after 3 years and I'm not? That's a lot how guys think. Kwon has been making a lot less than his pay grade. As a fourth round pick, they make, you know, close to the league minimum. And I think it would be a good statement as well for the team, because Kwon is a powerful voice in the locker room. He is that natural leader. And I think it gives him a little more cachet, a little more gravitas, a little more juice if he gets that new contract and the players see, hey, Kwon was rewarded early. And he's a top dog around here in a little extra way. I think that that's a good thing to do. If it's me, I would do it as well. Just thinking around the locker room. Kevin Pamphile, I talked to him. He said the Bucks have not spoken to him at all about coming back. He's hopeful. And it'll be interesting to see how much Pamphile commands on the open market, because how well is he valued? He wasn't necessarily valued too highly with the Bucks, splitting time with Evan Smith at left guard during most of this season. That was kind of odd on some fronts. He's young. He's smart. He's versatile. The Bucks will tell you he's extraordinarily versatile. Right tackle, left tackle in a pinch. He can play the guards. He can play center. Those guys are hard to come by, but do they want to pay him? And how will the league value him? That's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. All right, I'm coughing, so that means I've been talking too long for the podcast, but I do have two more things to get to. First, Adam Humphries, pat the guy on the back, 60-something catches. He just keeps producing, a walk-on. It's another great story, another feather in the cap of Jason Light, who's got a lot of warts, but you can't ignore the good things. And Humphries, you know, just a horrible fumble in Buffalo cost the team a game right there, but he recovered from that mentally, and tough guy, tough dude. He got the punt return gig back when they got rid of Bernard Reedy, and he did double duty, and just a tough guy. Learned to get the immense respect for Humphries, and nice guy as well. We could talk some more about other players in the upcoming podcast. This podcast, of course, you know it. I'd love some more reviews, right? If I don't ask for them, they don't come. But on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, leave a review, especially on iTunes. It can help sometimes, whatever. It's just nice. And I love the feedback, positive or negative. Very thick skin over here. You want to call me an idiot, a rambling moron, whatever, that's fine. Appreciate it. Subscribe to all the podcasts. It just means you get a free alert. If you do that in iTunes, you just get a little ping when the podcast posts. So you never have to wonder if you don't want to go to joebucksfan.com. Otherwise, get to joebucksfan.com on Mondays, and we're going to do some special podcasts during the off season and have some ideas. I wanted to mention something about Cutter in the media. I asked Cutter, what did you learn from all of this media rumors on NFL Network and speculation and the Gruden stuff, you know, all the stuff we just dealt with in December? What'd you learn from that, coach? And Cutter knows my line of questioning is a little bit different than others, which is fine. That's the whole point. But Cutter basically said, as you might've heard, don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. And he meanwhile talked about, through that press conference and through some other things that he said last month, he clearly listens to it. He does hear the noise. He does listen to the media. He is dialed into what's going on, which is no surprise because he's made comments, backhanded, front-handed, all kinds of things. And I think it's great. I think it's great. I know other media, I mean, we've heard Pewter Report say that, that Cutter is standoffish with the media. We've heard other people complain about his demeanor and his stuff. It's like, come on, you know, the guy's candid. He's available when he's supposed to be available. What more do you want? You want canned quotes, and you want a guy who doesn't care, who doesn't want to interact? You end up with Lovey, or you get, you know, swarmy one-liners from John Gruden. I think Cutter is fantastic for the fans. He's fantastic for the media. And you got to appreciate what he brings from that front. And this is not me sucking up to him, because I know he's listened to podcasts before. It's just the reality. Even when he was offensive coordinator, the guy was candid, as all could be. He's blasting the stat nerds. He's, you know, saying all anybody gives a blank about or wins. He's just himself. And I think he'd like to be more calculating and coy with the media, but I don't think he knows how to do it. And I think that's great. And we saw him take a shot the other day after the game Sunday. He made a comment during his post-game news conference. Meanwhile, right after a huge victory and the guy just got his job renewed 2 years ago or 2 days prior, he says, Jenna, meaning Jenna Lane from ESPN, well, Jenna thinks I've lost the locker room, which was in response to something she had written. And some people in the media thought that was unprofessional, that was weak. Come on, man. This is 2018. I thought it was fantastic. I love that kind of stuff, and we should all appreciate that we have a guy who's willing to dish it out because it's entertaining, and you know he's going to take it. He's got no choice on that front because that's what the media is. All right, hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for hearing my opening explanation, and we'll see you on Monday.